This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Fed is in play this week. Investors are also watching for signs of a potential trade deal. But our guest today is striking a more cautionary tone, warning about the risk of a looming secular bear market, one that could disrupt investment strategies that have worked for decades. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. And hey, Jim, before we get started here, give us that special offering for the Gains listener.
Well, simply send an email to jimwelshmacro@gmail.com, and I'll send you a recent MacroTides, a monthly MacroTides, or a weekly technical review. And I discuss things, obviously, like the economy, monetary policy, and all the different financial markets using fundamental analysis and technical analysis. So it's probably a little different than what you're normally used to. JimWelshMacro@gmail.com. And I'm happy to do that, Andy.
Okay. And then let's get that take right now on the Gains podcast. Fed Day, the Federal Reserve holds steady on rates. There was a little bit of a warning on stagflation. Takeaway from, you know, Fed policy, Fed statements today as we look at the markets?
Well, my take was, as I discussed in the Monday weekly technical review, Andy, was that Powell wouldn't say anything different than what he has been saying over the last 2-3 months. We're in a period of heightened uncertainty where the Fed, and none of us really knows how much tariffs are going to be put in place, how high they will be, and how long they will last. And that uncertainty regarding all of that is causing businesses to pull back. A CEO survey for the last few months showed in January about 60% of the CEOs responded that they planned on increasing investment and capital spending, and they expected to hire more people. In April, those same CEOs, it was a half that, around 30%. So this uncertainty that is impacting Chair Powell and the Federal Reserve in terms of what they should be doing with monetary policy is also having a real-world effect of CEOs kind of sitting on their hands. And we also saw consumers. Some people went out and bought a car in anticipation of higher tariffs, but other consumers are kind of, you know, things are a little crazy. I think I'm going to cut back. So the point being is we're in a cloud. I call it the twilight zone of economic statistics, because a lot of things are being impacted by the prospect of tariffs, and yet we still don't know, you know, the full impact. And that, so what Powell said today and what the Fed did to me was exactly what I expected.
And then on in the background as well, we've had President Trump being a little critical of the Fed chair and current Fed policy. Yep. That's kind of murkied the waters as well. Explain real quickly.
Well, President Trump has kind of chastised Chair Powell for not cutting rates sooner. And the problem with that, I think, is that it works against President Trump's wishes in the sense that the Fed wants to be apolitical. They do not want to appear vulnerable to criticism from the president or anyone else, and then respond to that criticism by kind of acquiescing to the opinion. So what I've written, Andy, is that President Trump has actually raised the bar from a standpoint that with this criticism that everyone has heard and is aware of, the Fed is going to probably need a little bit extra economic data showing that the economy is slowing, unemployment is ticking higher, and therefore a response by the Fed to lower the funds rate and cut rates is warranted. Because if they move before it's clear cut, you know, there's going to be criticism. The Fed and Powell, they're just caving into Trump. So I think he did himself a disservice by some of the criticism that he levied against Chair Powell and the Fed, because it's going to force them to have clear-cut evidence that a rate cut is warranted.
Yes. I mean, even if President Trump is right, I agree with you. He kind of, you know, they want to see, the Fed wants to appear to be apolitical. And right, if you try to nudge them one way or the other, it may take them longer before they can actually, you know, pull the trigger to show that they are independent. Now, I will say this, you know, Fed Chair Powell does not have the greatest track record. And we talked about this a couple of years ago. Remember, inflation was transitory. So kind of explain that and just your thoughts on what Fed policy should be right now. It seems like holding the path right now, there's a lot of uncertainty and things certainly aren't cratering. So I think holding steady is the right move. But it's really an interesting scenario here.
Well, the Federal Reserve believes in what they call forward guidance. They believe that if they communicate to financial markets what they're thinking about and what they will ultimately do, that there'll be less volatility. The problem is, as you kind of hinted at, in 2022, the Fed was in 21, the Fed was completely wrong about inflation being transitory. So they wound up having to jack rates up pretty aggressively. There were 4 3/4 of a point increases at, you know, 4 successive meetings by the Federal Reserve. David Rosenberg, a number of years ago, and he went back and looked at all the summary of economic projections that the Fed puts out every 3 months. So December, March, June, September. And what he found is the Fed was right about 1/3 of the time. So my view has been for some time that I think the Fed's dependence on forward guidance, I think, is not productive, because it boxes them sometimes in a corner because of things that they've said. And at the same time, I think markets are inhabited by grownups. And I grew up in the days in the 70s and 80s when the Fed told you nothing. There were no minutes of meetings that were published and so forth, no statements coming out. And so to me, markets had to be intelligent and not so dependent on what's the Fed supposedly going to say. And so to me, that's a big mistake. Now, the Fed isn't going to change because they really think that forward guidance is the cat's meow, even though they make mistakes. And markets wind up experiencing volatility because the Fed told them this and it turned out to be something different and so forth. So, the Fed is facing a challenge from a standpoint. The level of tariffs that are likely coming will raise prices. The thought is that it will be a one-time increase. There's risks for supply chain disruptions because 145% tariff on China means that some stuff that normally is sitting on the shelf when we go to a store isn't going to be there. So again, a lot of uncertainty, and I think the Fed is in the right place to not do anything at this point in time because they really don't know what they're dealing. The last thing I will say, though, is as much as inflation is likely to tick higher in coming months, Andy, I think the Fed is going to weight changes to the unemployment rate more heavily. So their March summary of economic projections said the unemployment rate would rise to 4.4% this year. This last month, it was 4.2. I think that's a key for us to be following, in the sense that if the unemployment rate ticks above 4.4, I think the Fed is going to have justification and more likely then to move to lower rates without even considering the fact that, okay, inflation is ticking up. I think they're going to weight what's happening to unemployment more heavily than what they believe will be a one-time increase in inflation. So I think that's the only thing that those of us who are watching the Fed, I think that's the right way to look at what's going to prompt the Fed to do something, the unemployment rate getting above 4.4.
Well, obviously, Fed policy is important. Trade is just as important, if not even bigger at this point. Thoughts on the trade situation? Are we going to get a deal? And then how that translates to financial markets?
Well, historically, Andy, trade deals take a long time. I mean, on average, it's about 18 months. So I think what we're likely to see is an agreement in principle by the United States and other countries where, okay, we agreed to do such and such and such and such. As we all know, when you get into a legal contract, the devil is in the details. So as these very complicated issues need to be worked out in coming months after an agreement in principle, you know, the risk is that there's a hiccup along the way. And President Trump is attempting to do this with dozens of countries. So I think there's going to be a lot of push and pull as we go through this. I think there will be trade deals or some agreement in principle that will be announced with, you know, countries like India, South Korea, and a number of other countries whose trade volume with the U.S. is far lower than Mexico, Canada, and the EU, and of course, China. So I think this is an issue that's going to be with us for a while. And I'm not in favor of tariffs personally. I just don't think history has shown us they don't succeed. At the same time, President Trump has raised valid criticism of where we are. My, I guess, difficulty or approach is I would have preferred, let's have 30 days of talks, and if they aren't fruitful, then I'm going to do something, as opposed to I'm going to hit you over the head with a club. Now let's start talking.
And I think a lot, one of the other criticisms is too, just a blanket tariff across the board for everything, everybody. I think
a friend and foe alike.
Yeah, it's kind of a softer hand. There are some critics would call for a bit of a softer hand. Others like it. There are some fundamental things that need to change and important issues that have been brought up here. And, you know, obviously there's various ways of looking at this. As it translates to financial markets, where do you see stocks right now? Where do you see markets? They've certainly come off those lows. And you were talking about at the very beginning, you bring a unique take to the table here, you know, both fundamental. Yeah. And so give us your feeling on markets.
Yeah, in January and February, I was looking for the market to have a decline at least 10%. A, because I thought Wall Street and most people were wrong who believed that President Trump was using tariffs as just a negotiating ploy. He would cave quickly after he got some concessions and away we would go. I thought that was incorrect, that he was going to be serious and that the tariffs were going to be real and he was going to follow through. Technically, the S&P kept making higher highs in January and February, but the advanced decline line peaked back on November 29th of last year. And historically, intermediate declines of 10% or more, bear market declines of 30 and 40%, have been preceded consistently, going all the way back to 1928, by a divergence between either the Dow and the S&P making higher highs and the AD line hitting a lower high. So that was a warning that the market was weaker under the surface, and if a good reason to sell materialized, it would struggle in dealing with an increase in selling pressure, which is exactly what we saw. Over the last week and a half, my thought was that the S&P could rally up to 5,700, maybe 5,750. Then we would see another, I think, sizable decline set in. So I think we're very near a high off that low we saw on April 7th. And my belief here is we are in a bear market and the S&P will retest that low at 48.35 and in all likelihood take that out. So to me, this is the place where we've gotten that snapback rally. I think it's close to ending. It's time to raise some cash.
How far do you, if those lower levels that you think are going to be revisited, you think they're likely going to be taken out, then what's that mean once they're taken out? Are we going significantly lower?
Well, here's one of the risks, from a stock market decline, is the top 10% of wage earners represent 50% of consumer spending. So you think about it, the bottom 50% of people have been struggling with the high cost of living. It's in part why I think President Trump was elected. A lot of people had never voted for a Republican before in their life. You know, for them, it's like, gee, in 2018, things were much better. You know, I had a paycheck. I could meet rent. I had money left over. And so they voted for him. And the top 10% weighing on the spending ledger so heavily has been fueled by the run-up in the equity market, run-up in real estate prices. And so to me, the risk here, Andy, is if we see a meaningful decline in the stock market that then lasts for a period of time, the top 10% of wage earners who have really been, if you will, pushing the economy along over the last year to 18 months, they're going to start to pull back. So I think the risk of a recession is higher now than it was 4-6 months ago, in part because of the decline we've seen in the equity market. And I think housing prices are going to be vulnerable as we get into next year. So I'm pretty bearish when I look out over the next 1 to 3 years. I think we're going to go through a very difficult and challenging time because I think the economy is going to slow, potentially go into a recession. And I think there's going to be international problems that are also going to weigh on global growth. So I think it's just time to be cautious.
All right, we're going to be right back. We got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And then, as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays. We'll be right back with Jim after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, back with Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. All right, Jim, so we kind of got the setup here, and you're definitely kind of bearish, especially as you look out here over the next month, to couple months, even maybe years to come. How are you playing this? What's your advice for the Gains listener? The first thing that you just mentioned before we went to break is you see right now this bit of a comeback as an opportunity to build some more dry powder. But let's start there, and then what do investors do from here?
Well, the one thing I'm going to, emphasize is early in January, people were really positive that the dollar was going to go higher because the tariffs would force that to happen. I took the opposite side. My view was the dollar was going to decline from 110 to below 100, which is kind of exactly what's happened. The dollar is close to a very important low, whether it's this week, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks, it doesn't matter. I think the dollar is close to a low, and it will enjoy a fairly significant rally. And, you know, what will that, how will that implicate, if you will, other markets? I think gold is a sell. I thought gold last year was going to, you know, this year would get above 3,000. I think gold is nearing a high and is vulnerable to a fairly significant decline, at least to 3,100, more likely down towards 2,600. Treasury yields. I'm concerned that treasury yields are going to go higher over the next 1 to 3 years. You know, based on the chart pattern that I've talked about and written about, the 30-year Treasury bond yield, and he broke above a declining trend line dating back to 1981. So the bond market goes through these 35-year secular bull and bear markets. So from 1946 to 81 was a secular bear market. From 1981 to 2020 was a secular bull market. I think we've begun a secular bear market in bonds. And at some point in time, in the next 5 years, the 10-year yield will get up to 7.5% and potentially higher. So I think that's problematic for investors to buy long-term treasury bonds because as yields go up, the value of those bonds go down. Historically, as yields go up, that's usually been a tailwind for the dollar. So that's how those pieces fit together. And in terms of equities, you know, I think we're going to see 3,500 at some point in time over the next 3 to 5 years. So what that means is I think investors have to become more tactically focused. In other words, buy and hold, if that environment is what transpires, buying and holding is going to be not very rewarding. It's going to generate losses. So I think investors have to take a portion of their portfolio and use a tactical approach where when the market gets as deeply oversold as it was, for instance, this last April, okay, you're going to have a pretty decent sized rally. When that rally ends, it's time to become more conservative and raise some cash. Same way with the bond market. You know, yields may go up, but there will be big rallies that happen along the way. So it's a completely different skill set and mindset than most investors have. And that's why I think for the majority of investors, the next 5 to 10 years are going to be really difficult. There's some big problems that have been kind of lurking in the background for a long time. And unfortunately, they've kind of come home to roost in terms of things like our trade deficit, the amount of debt that we've accumulated, interest expense queuing up more of the budget. So these are big time problems, and they're not just restricted to the United States. Europe has a whole completely different set of problems. China has problems too, in terms of what their economy is doing. So again, I think we're entering a dangerous window of time over the next 5 to 10 years. And I'm not, you know.
Yeah, and you said
pretty
that's
optimistic guy. Okay?
Yeah, so you said secular bear market. You said secular bear market. I mean, you're not painting a pretty picture at all. And you were just build off that cycle you were talking about.
Yeah.
You said it happens every how many years?
Well, there's an 80-year cycle that has governed economies going back several centuries. There was a book called The Fourth Turning. That I read about a decade ago. At first, I was skeptical, and then as things have unfolded over the last decade, Andy, I've become more and more of a believer. The thing I would tell people is pull up a chart of the Dow Jones Industrial Average and look at the period from 1965 to 1982. And what you will see is the Dow peaked at 1,000. It dropped to like 630 in 1970, back to 1,000 in 1973, then 574 in 1974, then back to 1,000 in 76, 77. And it finally bottomed just under 800 in 1982. So you had 16 years where you know, we were dealing with inflation, a bunch of other issues. The market went nowhere for 16 years, but there were these huge swings of 20, 30, 40%. So there were opportunities, but most people who just did a buy and hold approach weren't able to take advantage. They just rolled the roller coaster up and then they rolled it down again. And if you're 45, 50, 55 years old, if we go through a 10 to 15 year secular bear market, that's problematic. You could also look at the period from 2000 to 2009. You know, the S&P had two declines of 50% and one was 57%. So for a decade, that was lost money unless you were willing and able to play the swings. So my point is the secular bear market idea is not, you know, most people aren't familiar with it, but yet they probably went through at least the one from 2000 to 2010. Those who are older will recall maybe, you know, as I learned, you know, from 66 to 82, of course, 1929 to 1954. I mean, so these are things 1907 to 1921. So, you know, like a pendulum, you know, you go through a secular bull market that lasts 10, 15, 18 years, and the pendulum then swings back. And you go through a secular bear market that can last from 10 to 15 years or longer. So these are things are natural process of the equity market. And, you know, people need to be aware of this stuff. So if nothing else, if you've listened to us so far, Andy, you know, I would just urge people to look up secular bear markets in equities, learn about them, and then learn about tactical strategies that will help you to deal with that, because I think the probabilities are high that that's what we're going to be facing over the next 5 to 10 years.
No quick fix either. I mean, this is more of a long-term thing.
It is. I mean, again, you go back to 66 to 1982. You know, the world didn't come to an end. We had the Vietnam War. We had high inflation. There were a lot of other things that were going on. But at the same time, if you were an equity investor, you know, stocks got very expensive in 1968. We're at least as expensive, if not more expensive, now. Same thing happened in 2000. Stocks got incredibly expensive. And then you went through this digestive period where for 10 years, the market really didn't make any progress. And valuations came down. So I just think that, again, this is a normal function of how the stock market performs over periods of time, and so the other point
in those
make,
in those during those years, certain dividend stocks and certain companies did fairly well, right? If you had a nice portfolio of blue chip dividend earners, was that the play back then?
Well, again, unfortunately, when a market loses 30, 40, 50% of its value. You know, the difference is a great company that pays a good dividend, it might lose 10 to 15% instead of 40, 50, 60, 70%. Remember, the NASDAQ dropped almost 90% from 2000 to 2002. You know, so my point is when you get into these big bear markets, pretty much everything.
Like everything is really not, no place.
Relative.
Right.
Yeah, there's no place to hide.
No place to get shelter and unless, like you mentioned, you're able to play the trades a little bit, which a lot of the gains listeners can, and we'll talk about that, but just for investors at large. Yeah, you were talking about, you know, valuations. You know what came to mind? I was thinking like in the late 60s and 70s, you had those Nifty 50, and they were they got really expensive, and then you had kind of that downturn after, so that kind of plays into that. So as we wrap up today's Gains podcast, Jim, what's the final takeaway here? We've talked about some scary things, but what do you want to get across here?
Well, I would say avoid politics because, unfortunately, politics in the environment we're in, I think, kind of bends people's minds. I think it's important to be very objective, and that's why, to me, technical analysis is very helpful. It doesn't know anything about politics. But, you know, trends and patterns do repeat themselves consistently. So, I'm not trying to be Jimmy Downer. I just think that we're in an environment where volatility, I think, is going to remain high. And, you know, people are at more risk of losing money than gaining money over the next 5 to 10 years. So I'm not saying take your whole portfolio and go into a tactical approach, Andy, but should you make 25% or some percentage that you would be comfortable? But again, there's a learning curve that people need to follow, or you know, seek out people who can provide that kind of guidance. I mean, that's kind of what I do, is offer guidance in terms of, okay, the market's getting ready for a 10% decline. It's time to raise cash. And I just think it's still, we're in an environment where being conservative and cautious is warranted. But even in the big bear markets, again, my point is, if you look at charts, you'll see huge rallies that take place, 10, 15, 20, 25% over a period of 3 to 6 months. And then once they're over, the market goes down again. So, like I said, it's a whole different mindset. And, you know, check out macrotides.com. I'm happy to send you some of my letters, to, at least as an introduction to some of the tools that you may want to try to develop on your own, or rely on, you know, people like me or others that have built up a skill set over decades.
My takeaway is the days of buying and holding seem to be long gone now.
No place to hide. I think, unfortunately, that's going to prove to be the case.
All right. Big thanks to Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays. And I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth, for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.